and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast, where we discuss all things money.
Today, we'll focus on an issue that has attracted the attention of lakhs of employees as well as pensioners. The Employees Provident Fund Organization, or EPFO, has extended the deadline for filing joint declarations to claim higher pension to June 26th. The deadline would have otherwise expired on May 3rd, that's today. So now employees who want to opt for pension on their actual salary instead of the statutory salary of Rs 15,000 have close to 2 months to complete the task. Those racing against time to meet the May 3rd deadline can now heave a sigh of relief. The procedure is to be completed online through a facility enabled by the EPFO before June 26th. However, it is time-consuming and cumbersome and also riddled with several ambiguities. So it is best that you complete the process as soon as you can. And to understand the nuances of the procedural aspects and the grey areas that you might encounter while filing your applications, we have with us today Kuldeep Kumar, an independent personal tax expert and former leader, Global Mobility Services, PwC India. Hello, Mr. Kumar. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Simply Save once again.
Thank you, Preeti, for having me on the show.
The deadline for filing joint declarations to claim pension on higher salary has now been extended to June 26. Now, the extension, of course, is welcome, but the EPFO has not issued clarifications on several grey areas. So, could you talk about what these ambiguities are that are yet to be addressed?
Well, I think that there are ambiguity. You know, for example, how the method of computation of pension is to be, they have to just roll it out. In their earlier circular, they have stated that. But I think that one of the things which some of the subscribers are finding that if they opt for the higher pension, they will get a good return in the form of a higher pension as compared to the market return or if they keep the money to the provident fund. Now, the real question is that whether they will actually get that higher pension or whether the EPFO can actually change the method of computing the pension, you know, where the returns are aligned to the market return rate, etc. So, right. As we know that currently they have a set formula for calculating the pension, but assuming that if based on that formula the pension comes out to be so high that is much higher than the market return, and it's very difficult to say that how government is going to fund that or they're not going to pay from their pocket. Mm. And we should not forget that the way the intention of the law, when they made the changes in 2014, that they wanted to offer the pension EPS benefit to those who were drawing salary up to 15,000 rupees. So I'm not sure that whether those who are getting salary more than 15,000 rupees and whether they can actually use it as a mechanism to earn higher return. But it's quite possible that they may make the adjustment. So that is where several of the subscribers are actually having a question or a challenge that whether they should go for it or not, or whether they can change it or not.
Because there is no certainty on how pension will be calculated and what is the pension income that they'll get in their hands in future, right? That is the area of concern. At the moment, they'll be going ahead with this process without any idea of what kind of pension they'll get in future.
So I will say, Preeti, that they have the pension, for example, you know, the current formula is that the pensionable salary divided by 70 and multiplied by the number of contributory service. Hmm. So that formula is there. Now, based on that formula, one can actually calculate that how much money, you know, when it gets transferred from the provident fund to the EPF to get the higher pension, and then that pension is actually calculated on that basis. Hmm. And based on that, you know, some of the subscribers are finding that the return is pretty good at.
But then there is no certainty on whether, as in the EPFO is allowed to change this methodology, right?
Yes, that is very much in their right to change that. And I think that probably it will depend on the number of applications they get. I think they will have to do their math. And I read in the media also that question was posed to them. It's very difficult for them to even ascertain that how many people actually apply, how much of the pressure it will have on the pension fund. I think it is based on that probably if something may happen. But it is very difficult to say that, you know, they may not make any changes because what is in their right and they have the authority to make the change, they may do the change actually.
And is there any clarity on the 1.16% contribution that employees had to make to avail of this higher pension option?
Well, as per the changes which they made in 2014, any contribution on higher salary beyond 16,000 rupees, 1.16% was to be contributed by the subscriber.
Hmm.
Although the Supreme Court, you know, said that they can do that, but they cannot do it by simply making the changes in the scheme. They actually have to make the amendment in the law.
Okay.
And the ruling allowed the EPFO to make the changes in the law within the next 6 months. And then they can actually collect that 1.162% higher contribution. But in the time the changes are made in the law as a stopgap arrangement, they allowed to collect, allowed the EPFO to collect 1.16% additional contribution.
And for those who are still trying to complete the process at the last minute, what would your advice be? What are the mistakes that they ought to avoid at this juncture?
I think the first question, of course, is for them to decide whether they want to go for that or for the pension or not. And if they have decided to go for the pension, I think the process is now simple. And if they go to the site and they log in, and they have to answer the, those questions, and that should not be a difficulty. Earlier there was a challenge because earlier when they have opened the link, there was a joint declaration which under para 26(6) of the scheme was mandatorily asked to be uploaded. Now several of the subscribers were not having that declaration. Basically 26(6) is a declaration whereby employer and employee agree that they will be contributing to the provident fund on a higher salary beyond the threshold. The current threshold is 15,000 rupees. So now they have they have removed that mandatory submission, and basically one can actually select the option. But of course, when they will process the application at that point of time, then they will have to sort it out whether they take it a fresh declaration regularizing the past declaration if they are not able to pay, etc. But now there is actually no difficulty in terms of submitting the option. But one thing one should do is that, when you are, if the subscriber has decided that he wants to work for a higher pension, they should at least immediately check whether they have the UN and the UN is linked with the Aadhaar and the Aadhaar is linked with the mobile. Because even if these basics are not there, then they probably may not be even able to assess the system in terms of to exercise the option. I think that basic homework they should do it immediately. So that at the last moment they are not really stuck, and when they want to exercise option, but they are stuck because of these issues.
And even in case of those who may have already completed this process online, still the exercise would be far from over for them, right? There is step two wherein the EPFO will step in. So could you elaborate on how the process will unfold now, going forward, and what are the next steps that they should watch out for?
Well, I think that the major or the all the process actually will start, after starting the exercise of the option. The real process will start thereafter because the PF authorities will actually verify the application. They will have to approve that. And they came out with a circular instruction on April 23, 2023, where they have detailed and addressing some of the aspects. For example, once the application is submitted, then the authorities will, the RPFC will examine the details, and if there is any mismatch of data between the application or the data of the employer vis-a-vis the data which is available with the EPFO, then they will inform the employer with a copy to employee and allow 1 month to, rectify those details or provide those explanation. And even if, where the joint application has been filed, but that has to be approved by the employer, so probably they will also reach out to the employer to approve the application. And I think if these details are matching with the PF data, then they will pass the order. But assuming that if that data is not matching, then they will pass the transfer of PF to pension order on merit. But I think they have simply stated that, but I think there may be several situations where there may be practical difficulty, some of the information may not be tallying or there may be a gap, and it only time will tell that now how those will get addressed, and also right. How much time the PF authorities will take in terms of their own processing by which probably they will achieve that objective of approving, that also seems to be not clear from those instructions as of now. But I think yes, you are right, once the option is exercised, I think thereafter, this processing will take time, and then one should be ready with all the details that if they are in this match, then those have to be corrected.
Any documentation that they can preserve, or for instance, past salary slips or anything else at all that they might need at this stage or when the queries arise?
I think that will be helpful, but based on my practical experience with my client, for example, I find this was one of the major difficulties which everyone was facing. You know, somebody, for example, who started their employment, say, in 2004 or 5, and if you ask that, what is your yearly salary and whether you have your monthly pay slip, and I think they were not having that data. And in fact, most of the individuals were actually demanding that when the EPFO has all these details, why rather than they don't provide us those kind of details. But I think this is a million-dollar question now. If, for example, when there are more than two or three employers, where some of the employers would have actually, you know, for example, closed down or changes have taken place somewhere. So one should have their data to the extent possible, because if any mismatch is there, but of course the question is going to, you know, arise from there. We should not forget that this pension is based on the contribution which is received in the EPS. And that contribution can only come based on those details, and that amount is transferred from the PF to the EPS corpus.
And could you elaborate on the grievance redressal process that the EPFO has put in place?
Well, the grievances is the same. I mean, the EPFO has the EPF grievance management system, which is an online system to, you know, file any of the complaint or any of the query or complaint grievance one can have. And they have created a separate category into this, which is a specified category of higher pension with reference to the Supreme Court judgment dated 4/11/2022. And when the grievance is submitted, that will be looked after by the nominated officer. And all these grievances will actually be monitored by the regional or a zonal officer in charge in that area. So right now, that is the grievance system which they have put in place in terms of monitoring the in terms of the EPS option.
And finally, could you talk about the pros and cons of this higher pension option?
I think it again starts with the very first thing, that what are your financial goals, and with, you know, this is a defined pension scheme. You know, as I mentioned earlier also, the pension is calculated by dividing the pensionable salary divided by 70 multiplied by 35. So if somebody has been in a long service and somebody has actually progressed over a period of time in terms of increase in the salary on year-to-year basis, and it looks like that for them, choosing the pension would be beneficial, as over a period of 5 to 6 years, probably the corpus can be withdrawn in the form of a pension. But again, one should see that what are the financial goals, whether on retirement they need the lump sum money to meet their financial goals, for example, children education, marriage, or buying a house, etc. In which case, of course, they should not go for the pension. But in any case, and then they should also see that, for example, the eligibility for pension arises when you have a 10-year of service. So you should make sure that you are actually having, you will be able to complete 10 years of service before you retire in order to get the pension. And then one should not forget that even though now it may look like that the return in the form of pension is higher, but the method of computation of pension is yet to be rolled out by the EPFO. And then if the number of applicants who have applied for the pension option, and if the pressure on the corpus is that the return they may have to share in the form of a monthly pension is much more than the market return, then how they will, meet up their pension obligation. Considering those factors, they may actually change the method of computer pension, which may actually result in a lower pension than whatever is on the existing formula one would have calculated that they would be getting that expected pension. So that kind of a risk also one should bear in mind. And overall, I think it all depends on individual to individual in their situation, and also what kind of a total financial portfolio they have and what kind of a health they are maintaining, how much, you know, it's very difficult to predict, you know, the life, but generally how, what medical condition you are, you know, living in, etc. So that it is only based on that you can decide that. And one should not forget that once you get, the pension from the EPS, you will never get the corpus pension corpus back. And after you, your spouse will get the pension, which will be 50% of the pension which you would have been getting. So one should keep all these factors in mind, and only then one should go for the pension option.
Thanks so much for your insights on this very important subject, Mr. Kumar. I'm sure our listeners will find the information and advice very useful. Thank you so much once again for being on our show.
Thank you, Preeti. Thank you, Preeti, for having me.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.